Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. You can push buttons on your phone. Call in 855-212-4227, which is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Let's go to Herb in New York. Herb, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Robin. I like your show. It's a big part of my Saturday mornings. Hey, I grew up, I learned to love basketball by watching and listening to the Knicks on the AM radio with Marv Albert calling it back in the 70s. And, you know, later on, I remember losing my mind when the Busher pulled the number one ticket to get Ewing. And I love that team, like you were saying, with Oakley and Mason and Stark. They were just tough personified. But then after Van Gundy left, I can't remember the coach. Was it Chaney took the team over? And they just went to a bunch of really ugly ISO ball. And, oh, man, it was really suffering. I was so used to watching the good team concept. So not long after that, maybe it was long, Jason Kidd comes to Brooklyn or comes to the
New Jersey.
Nets. And,
yeah.
And they had RJ and they had Carter. And, you know, and all of a sudden it was fun to watch basketball again. And I'm thinking, this is stupid. Why am I going to torture myself watching this horrible Knicks team like a dumpster fire when I could just change the channel and enjoy myself watching a basketball game? So I switched over pretty quick. I think what they're doing right now with Spike is ridiculous, but Spike is part of the problem. If Spike had taken his contract and burned it on TV and said, this is what I think, maybe, you know, as long as the Knicks are making money, this guy's not going to sell. You know, he's got to bail. He's come over to the Knicks. He's going to have the Nets. He'll have a good time.
It makes more sense to me. I know people treat their sports rooting fandom like family, but it's not, you know. it's just not. It's a business, right, that you're supporting. It's an entertainment property. And I'm not saying, like, just switch and jump ship trade from team to team every year. And I get there's a bond for some that just, it's important to them. And that's everybody's individual decision. But ultimately, it isn't more than an actual, like, entertainment property or a business that you're supporting. And it just never made sense to me if that business is not respecting you, reciprocating what you're doing. Basically, you're paying $200 for a slap in the face to go to Madison Square Garden nowadays. A disgrace is an easy way of putting it. It's not like, you know, a team that's going through a rough patch. That happens. It's a team where the rough patch is its entire existence. And not only that, it's like they double down on the embarrassment. Let's go to Lee in Dallas. Lee, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
So I could see Spike Lee, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
what about Spike Lee?
Oh, am I I'm just saying Spike Lee is not an employee, and he should probably go up the VIP elevator if he's really supporting his team so that other celebrities can go up the same VIP elevator so us fans can see them. He's not an employee there. And like I said, I don't buy my ticket to go to games to see celebrities. I go to see the ball players, you know.
But, well, I mean, if he's been doing it for 30 years and he's publicly supported your franchise, when your franchise has been, you know, generally covered as a joke, you really think there it should be become an issue the way it became, where you're releasing a public statement? It's not about the how.
They haven't told him already, and his arrogance is like, you know, I do what I want. I'm here all the time. He's acting like he owns the team. How many times has an employee quit a job and says, "Well, this place is going to go down without me"?
I promise you, if you surveyed Knicks fans and asked them who they prefer, the owner of the team or Spike Lee, it's going to be a runaway. You know, I talked to Jadakiss, the rapper, the other day, New York City rapper. Been around a long time, obviously. And that's what he said to me. He was like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's Spike Lee and then it's Dolan when it comes to the Knicks. Like, and Dolan takes that owner's thing more seriously than any other owner I think I've ever seen, where it's like he treats it like he's kicking you out of his house. And yes, I mean, again, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Yes, you can escort Charles Oakley out in handcuffs. Should you? No. Yes, you can put out any statement you want. Should you? No. Yes, you can kick fans out for saying sell the team. Should you? No. I mean, that's the difference. There's a big difference, a big distinction between the can and the should there. And I don't know what's going on with that guy, because he just continues to interject himself into the conversation. What other team owner can you name in the NBA, like, without thinking about it? Mark Cuban's probably the only other one, right, who's on even close to that level. And it's not because of anything. You know, he's getting fined by the NBA or whatnot. And he's on Shark Tank. But he's not embarrassing the franchise. Steve Ballmer, because he's new with the Clippers. And he's got a lot. But even him, I mean, you just can't name owners in the NBA off the top of your head. Generally, everybody knows Dolan. He's probably, I mean, who's the best player on the Knicks right now? They don't even have, you know, that an easy answer to that question. Felicia in Huntsville, Alabama. Yes. You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, my question is just to the Knicks. If there's a new policy that was imposed, how did Spike Lee even get through the door? Your ticket takers should have said at that point, "Mr. Lee, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to use the entrance at 31st Street instead, which is the VIP entrance."
Well, I mean, it's a Felicia, I've been in that entrance with him a bunch. It's actually a weird entrance because you come in the door first, and then you get to the people that help you get inside, and before you even get to the ticket people. But it, nevertheless, your point stands, right? Like, you shouldn't say, "Oh, you know what you're going to have to do? Go back outside and go around the corner." You know, like, it's instead you say, "Mr. Lee, next time, could you please," you know, like, and if there's a problem, I don't know, you escalate it, but you can't have it become an incident. And then even if that were to be it and Spike Lee were to say what he said, the statement that you release after the fact can't be what they said. Like, they just made it worse by putting out the statement, escalating the feud. Take the high road then. Say, you know, we in no way are targeting Spike Lee. We are regret that he feels that in any way. He's a valued supporter of the team, and he's you know, a legendary supporter of the team. We you know, changed the policy, and a security guard in trying to do his job caused, you know, Spike to get a little upset, but we, you know, hope to resolve this privately and have Spike right back in courtside seats where he belongs. Done. Let's go to Greg in Chicago. Greg, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Greg?
Not too much. Hey, you know, we all agree that Brady's a GOAT, one of the GOATs. But at this point, If he goes to another team and he comes out from the umbrella of the Patriots, I think, unless it's the Titans with the running game, teams are just going to tee off on him. Teams have always, we're playing the Patriots. We got to figure this out. They've overthought it. Now, at his age, they're just going to tee off on this guy, and, man, I don't like his chances.
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course. You're talking about Tom Brady, obviously, and circling back to his free agency. I said this before. The idea that Tom Brady is a free agent is fascinating to people because they've seen him on the Patriots this whole time, and we usually don't get this level of free agency in the NFL. But if he winds up somewhere else, I don't think in reality it's going to have much of an impact. I think the frenzy around his free agency is far more tied into his celebrity right now than his ability right now. We're not talking about Tom Brady at 35. We're talking about Tom Brady at 42. I just don't see the upside. I don't know personally what he wants because always there can be a personal difference, right? Like you may just want to change the scenery. You may just be sick of Belichick. You may want to live where it's warmer. I don't know. There's all different factors that can go into why someone would make a decision like that personally. Professionally, I just don't see what the benefit for Brady is. You know, what is he gaining from playing somewhere else right now? Diego in Washington. Diego, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
So I thought you had it, like, hit the nail on the head right there when he talked about the Spike Lee. Like how pretty much they maybe the New York Knicks needed to hire you as their PR person because how you said it made perfect sense. Like, don't come at them, anything like that. Like, you know, a business, their business, the New York Knicks, and the way they came at them for someone who spent so much money on them throughout the years, like, how could you come at, like, your customer like that? I don't know what the exact number is, but I'm assuming it's, like, $5 million plus or something like
that. It's got to be millions of dollars at this point, yes, that he spent.
Yeah. Why would you go after someone who spends that much, who's giving you that money? Like, I just don't get it. Like, it's beyond me. Like, are they intentionally trying to destroy their franchise? I don't even know.
Pride almost always come before the fall, right? I mean, it's got to be. It's just like a level of unchecked arrogance and insecurity manifesting itself publicly. I mean, this dude, Dolan, has somebody on payroll who listens to what others are saying about him, who you know, listens to sports talk and TV and finds out and catalogs what people are saying about him. So, yeah, I mean, I used to go to the Garden all the time. I you know, maybe I'm not a big enough deal, but I do wonder how I would be received if I went back there given the things that I've said about the team, because I know that that's a thing. He has somebody listening. And that's somebody's job to figure out what people are saying about him. So, like, that's the kind of individual you're dealing with right there. I mean, just read that statement. It's a cartoon statement. Spike freaking Lee. This guy has been associated with the Knicks my entire life. Like, since I can remember watching basketball, I remember Spike Lee representing the Knicks, repping the Knicks hard courtside. Again, back to Reggie Miller. And the infamous choke symbol, all that stuff. And they're going to pick a fight with him when they're in this miserable state of affairs? Who thought in any universe that's a good idea? I mean, when you're putting that out there and you're dictating it, what font was that statement written in? Petulant? When you're putting it out there and you're going to hit send, do you think that's going to be received well? Like, somebody's going to be, oh, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, that's laughable what Spike Lee was doing. I give up. Maybe my friend Tommy Beer can help me coming up next. He's a Knicks fan. We'll also talk about the MVP race between LeBron and Giannis. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show. Robin Lundberg is on the air. You're welcome. Here's Robin Lundberg.
I am Robin Lundberg here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Brooklyn Nets running a promo, Kings of New York, with a picture of Kevin Durant. Limited presale for 2020-21 season tickets. It'll get interesting when Durant and Kyrie are on the floor for the Nets, what it means for New York City. But even with his recent dust-up, Spike Lee said he's not going to the Nets. And I'm joined now by another Knicks fan, Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC, Roto-World, and Forbes. Tommy, next time you go to a Knicks game, what entrance will you be using?
Whatever one they tell me, man. I'm not trying to get cuffed and taken out of the building. That's for sure. Yes, but I actually do. I use the entrance, the much publicized entrance is the media entrance on the corner of 33rd and 8th. So I've seen Spike use that one before in the years past, but never had seen the type of animosity we saw this week. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's wild because I've used that entrance with Spike like on numerous occasions. I've been in that the slowest elevator in the world, right there. You know, and Tommy, I've been very critical of the Knicks. I think rightfully so. And it almost feels like, you know, it's piling on sometimes because everybody's critical of the Knicks. But even with the standards where they were, I was almost in disbelief. I can't believe they actually got into a public feud with Spike Lee. In many ways, he's been the face of their franchise.
It really is unbelievable. That tweet that statement that they sent out, I mean, it's the type of thing if you're 15-year-old son was going to, you know, send it to a bully at school. You know, you just say, listen, let's take a deep breath. Let's, you know, this is probably not the best way to handle things. And for a professional sports organization valued at $4.6 billion to feel it necessary to include pictures and use the type of wording that they use, it really is, in the truest sense of the word, unbelievable. And listen, Spike's not blameless in this whole thing. I think we can all agree he acted a little bit diva-ish. But for the Knicks to take the tack that they did, it just serves no purpose other than stroking the ego of the owner.
You know, it's not about the what, like you said, like the what I can understand there may be an issue. We have to see what actually transpired. It's the how, right? Same thing with Charles Oakley. It's the how, not the what. And you know, even the reputation that it continues to add to. Chris Paul was in trade rumors. And I think Chris Paul was wearing Do the Right Thing sneakers last night when he said it's ridiculous that he's linked to the Knicks in a trade. They're just trying to distract from the Spike Lee thing. When they think stuff like this doesn't matter, it obviously matters, right? Because that becomes the brand.
It does. You know, and that's the thing. That's when we saw Spike go on First Take, he was clearly upset. And it just my first thought was, okay, this is a perfect opportunity for Leon Rose to kind of take control of a situation that probably got a little bit out of hand, you know, emotions got involved. Let's use this as an opportunity to show that we have turned over a new leaf. We're not the same petty, foolish, childish organization that we've been, you know, that the people view us as over the last two decades. Let's use this opportunity. We'll extend an olive branch to Spike. And even if you're not sorry, listen, we all have to apologize sometimes for things we're not truly sorry about. Even if you think he was in the wrong, this was a perfect opportunity to show. And then, hey, maybe use this as a springboard, get Charles Oakley back in the building, start building a different face of the franchise. And you know, but they just blew the opportunity and in some ways looked worse than ever. And yes, to deny that, you know, certain fans, I was shocked that folks still defend Dolan, and they were calling Spike Lee a spoiled baby. You know, like, imagine if somebody in an argument with Dolan and calling Spike Lee spoiled. But yes, I mean, players notice this, or you know, GMs notice this. Remember, they still don't have a general manager in place. Does Sam Presti want to get involved with this nonsense? Does Daryl Morey want to get, you know, there's just one more log in the fire of drama.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that Kristaps Porzingis started balling out at the same time that this all went down. Breaking news. Kenny Atkinson out as Nets coach.
Wow.
As we speak, I'm making sure this is not a parody.
No, I got it on my phone, too. The Nets are parting ways with Kenny Atkinson.
Huh.
For shams.
That's a surprising turn of events. You know, just your initial reaction to that in the moment. Why do you think that's the case?
Shocking. I have no idea. we'll soon find out. It looks like Jacques Vaughn is going to take over as interim head coach. Listen, they're playing without their two best players. You had heard that Marks and Atkinson were kind of joined at the hip. We have to wonder if Sean Marks is still in the picture here. I haven't heard any rumblings whatsoever that there was any kind of discord. So this is certainly stunning news.
Yeah, it's completely unexpected. I mean, I think the link to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant is going to be speculated about almost immediately.
I think that's a fair, a fair guess to try to analyze what happened. I guess there's a possibility that there was some tension there and that those guys, they weren't traveling with the team. Maybe did Kenny Atkinson want to, get those guys on board and show a little bit more team camaraderie. I guess we're just speculating at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it would be just speculating because we don't actually have the information in front of us. I'll try to see if we can find out a little more. But reacting in real time, Robin Lundberg here with Tommy Beer, NBA analyst for NBC/RotoWorld. And Forbes, something we have a little bit more information on is the situation with the MVP, right? And LeBron and Giannis going head-to-head last night. Where do you fall in that debate right now? Because I know Giannis has had an unbelievable season, but I'm always in the camp of when LeBron James is in his prime, which he somehow still is, he's the most valuable player every year, other than last year when he was out with the groin injury.
Yeah, I respect LeBron. I know you do as well a great deal, and I don't think we should take for granted. I think what he's doing in year 17 is truly almost incomprehensible. And he certainly is the second most valuable player in the league, in my opinion. But I think it's Giannis by quite a clear margin, to be honest. You got arguably the Bucks having one of the best seasons of all time. They lost to the Lakers last night. Obviously, LeBron played well, 37 points. I think the Lakers are now 21-0 in games in which LeBron has scored 20 points or more. But that being said, the Bucks still have a chance to win 70 games, which has been done only 3 times in NBA history. As of earlier this week, that they had the highest point differential of any team in the NBA in NBA history. That's better than both the 94-95 Bulls and the obviously the 73-win Warriors team. Giannis is on pace to have a historic season in terms of any analytics you want to look at. 30 points, over 50% from the floor, 15 rebounds, 6 assists. The advanced analytics show that he is playing at a truly tremendously high level. Doesn't have another Hall of Famer on his roster. Yes, Chris Middleton's having an extremely efficient and impressive season. But I think when you factor in everything that's involved, team record, individual performance, it's Giannis for me.
Well, let me push back a little bit because you look at team performance, right? And the Bucks are having a marvelous season, but the Lakers are only a few games behind them. And when LeBron was out east, it would be, LeBron's dominating the east. Wait to see what happens when he gets to the west. Now he's in the west, basically doing the same thing. And yes, Anthony Davis is clearly the second best player amongst both rosters. But once you get behind Anthony Davis, who's the third best, right? And fourth and fifth. And I think the Bucks could have a case there. And you look at on-off court numbers. When LeBron's off the court, the Lakers are getting outscored. When LeBronis is when Giannis is off the court, they're still outscoring teams. So, is there any validity to that argument in your mind?
I think there's validity, and yes, the Lakers are playing really well. I was surprised to see that they were. I think it's just 3 or 4 games back of the Bucks right now after last night's win. So, if they can kind of close that margin a little bit, get upwards of 65 wins themselves, that would certainly make it a little bit more interesting. But again, Anthony Davis has been a crucial, factor in their success. You do bring up a good point. If we were at the schoolyard and we were, picking guys who would go, Giannis and or LeBron, then Anthony Davis, then you could have a run of Bucks. Maybe the next, 5 or 6 players could all be Milwaukee Bucks. So that, I think there is validity to that argument. But I think, when we take a step back, I think the idea that LeBron gets credit for what he's doing in year 17 is a little bit unfair. Even though LeBron probably should have won other MVPs, it's not a career achievement award. If LeBron was putting up the numbers that Giannis is putting up this season 10 years ago, I think we'd agree that, that just the numbers, the sheer numbers themselves, the efficiency, whether you want to get into the James Harden thing where it's not skill, it's just size. That's a whole another argument, but everything that we in terms of how I judge a player is most valuable. This is one of the unique years where he's the best player on clearly the best team, both offensively and defensively. And he's a tremendously talented offensive force, and he's also arguably the best, most versatile defender in the league. I respect the LeBron conversation. I think he's definitely a clear two. I think it's Giannis and LeBron, and then a huge gap before we discuss anybody else. I got Giannis ahead.
Yeah, we'll see what happens if the Lakers beat the Clippers on Sunday. It could be an interesting, at least it will be talked about. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Tommy, appreciate talking to you as always, man.
Be good, Robin. Take care.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show. A student of sports and a professor of pop culture. He's Robin Lundberg.
Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Very surprising news out of the NBA. Still sort of processing it right now. Kenny Atkinson out as Nets head coach. I mean, it's surprising, obviously, because he's been without Kyrie Irving, without Kevin Durant, you know, without Kyrie Irving for most of the season, without Kevin Durant for the entire season, and for it to happen so suddenly. I wouldn't say the Nets have had a good season. I mean, that would be overstating it. But it hasn't been a disaster either. I mean, it's easy to qualify for the playoffs in the East. They're currently at the seventh seed at this moment. And Jacque Vaughn will serve as the interim coach for the Brooklyn Nets. Speculation is going to go wild here because it was such a sudden move that nobody really saw coming. And when you have lightning rods like Kevin Durant and especially Kyrie Irving as a part of the team and the organization there, I imagine that will, you know, factor in to the entire issue, the entire situation. As far as the Nets go, very surprised to see this go down. And because of, you know, the way it went down, like I said, that's where you're going to get the reaction from people as far as how it went down, what went on. I'd imagine that job is really highly coveted, and I trust Sean Marks as the guy running that team, so I don't think he would do anything rash as far as something to the detriment of the team. But it is surprising to see it happen the way it unfolded. Anthony, what's your reaction to it right off the top?
Yeah, it's very surprising because, I mean, I didn't hear any, you know, inklings of any, you know, discord or any issue with Kenny Atkinson. And, again, what was the guy supposed to do? I mean, with the talent that, he had without no Kyrie and without no Kevin Durant. And I just, for me personally, and you know, you, since you watched them, being a Nets fan, like I would never point to any of the Nets issues and say, "Oh, that's on Kenny Atkinson," like to point the finger at him.
Yeah, it makes you think there was something going on behind the scenes, or I don't know. I mean, Sean Marks, like I said, I trust him as an evaluator, so I don't think he would do anything nuts. So I don't think he would, you know, just fire Kenny Atkinson, let's say, because Kyrie Irving said, you know, "I have an issue with Kenny Atkinson," right immediately. But if there was something that built towards it and he thought it was, you know, to the long-term good of what they're trying to build, then I could see making the move. Like, and it is fair to say, I think, that if Kyrie and Kevin Durant were fully behind Atkinson, he probably wouldn't be fired today, or this wouldn't have happened. I think that's fair to say. But that's a good job. I mean, because you're coming in the next year with a fully loaded, you'd walk in the door with a championship level core. I mean, you're basically, it's the job that Frank Vogel took last year, right? It's very equivalent to that, the job that Frank Vogel took last year. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Robin. How you doing? Good show.
Thank you, sir.
Great. First, with the Tom Brady, I think he's going to go to the Chargers. It makes sense. I think he has a better chance of putting them over the top than, say, the Rams going further than what they were from last year. I mean, look, I think the Clippers can win it all. Maybe the Lakers, Dodgers. I think they have a heavily favorite. He might be looking at like a, you know, like a trifecta there. And with Dolan, he's such a clown. I hope they can somehow make him sell the team. I mean, Spike Lee is like Jack Nicholson. I don't think Jack Nicholson gets a hard time over there. And what's with Dolan not wanting to sell the Forum? What use does he have besides money of keeping the Forum out there in L.A.?
What the Ballmer's trying to get that for the Clippers. And I think last I saw, that was close to happening. But there was a fight around that arena, and Dolan was involved in that as well. He certainly was. Time to get to every topic I have not as of yet in another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
What's up first, Anthony?
All right, we'll start off with some NFL topics. So in a teaser for HBO's The Shop, which will air tonight, Patrick Mahomes says he didn't understand how to read defenses until last year. Mahomes says, I can take my game to a whole different level. So, Robin, is it actually possible that Mahomes could even get better?
Well, you know, it's wild to hear that, right, because of the level he's already playing at. But it does make sense, right? Like, guys get better at least that aspect of the game as they get a little older. And Mahomes has barely been in the league. So you would think with experience in high-leverage situations, he would get better. But it is just wild at the prospect of how much better can he get. Now, you also have to think there's multiple factors at play, right? Will the talent around him be as good as he gets better? You know, will he have Tyreek Hill and Kelsey later in his career? Andy Reid, what's he going to wind up doing? You know, he came into a really favorable situation. Still, when you're checking off boxes as to what a quarterback has, Mahomes has checked off more boxes than anyone ever. Arm strength, accuracy, mobility, intelligence, the whole package. So, yeah, the idea of him getting any better is almost scary because in the worst game basically any of us have seen him play, he won the Super Bowl.
Another one.
The NFL's CBA proposal would eliminate suspensions for positive substance abuse tests. Players would receive fines instead of being suspended. Is the NFL going too soft here?
No, I don't think so. I don't think... First of all, substance abuse is a health problem, not a behavioral problem, the way I look at it. So you want to help people. You don't want to punish them. I don't think generally that's the right way to look at it. I mean, there are so many people across the country who suffer from alcoholism, right? And you know, punishing them, in a sense, I guess, could be a wake-up call. It can be like the thing that gets them on the road to recovery. But you want people on the road to recovery. Same thing goes for, you know, like opioids is, you know, what's prescribed as painkillers. It's one of the reasons marijuana has been such a hot debate in sports is if alcohol and opioids are the standard, then what is, you know, the hold up on marijuana when it's objectively less harmful for you than those two substances? So I think all things considered, that's the proper way to go about things. You don't want to be punishing as much as trying to help. I don't think it should be seen as an invitation to allow people to be reckless.
Another one.
So Titans coach Mike Vrabel, he downplayed this week tampering concerns after his chat with Tom Brady. He said, friendships aren't going to stop. Is Vrabel tampering?
Is he tampering? No, I don't. I mean, the whole tampering thing is stupid to me in the first place. What does that really mean? I mean, we're going to confiscate cell phones and the like, and how you can't prevent certain things from happening. That generally, I think tampering just comes from people who are upset that they might lose a player, or, you know, are worried that they're at a small market, or, you know, don't want, you know, certain players to run the league or have an advantage. People know each other. People are going to talk. So if it's technically tampering, I don't know what the exact letter of the law is, but it's not tampering in my mind. It's like if my friend happened to run a sports media industry and he was on the phone with me about something and mentioned to me, hey, there's like a spot opening. Is that tampering? I mean, it's just we have a relationship.
Another one.
Someone wants to push the start of the NBA season back, Robin. That would be Hawks CEO Steve Kuhnin. He says starting the NBA season in December would help ratings. What do you think of this idea?
You know, it's not a bad idea. You know, I saw you push it all the way back into August, and that would be the time where the sports calendar is at its slowest. If the finals were played in August, that would be kind of exciting. I don't hate the idea of... See, I think they should shorten the regular season, though. So even if you're pushing it back, I would shorten the regular season, space out the games a little bit more. But the idea of shortening the season is not... Or moving the season isn't the worst idea in the world, because a lot of times what you get is... Football is still at the top of mind for people when NBA first starts. So you'll hear Christmas referenced as the actual start of the NBA season for casual fans. So if you really just made that the actual start of the NBA season, maybe you would boost some of the juice around the regular season.
Another one.
Rockets general manager Daryl Morey accused this week NBA broadcasters of hate-watching their own game. He claims the NFL would never let it happen. Robin, do you think NBA broadcasters are overly negative about the league during games?
You know what? It doesn't bother me, but it is a sentiment I see a lot, especially from the crowd online that would lean towards the way Daryl Morey thinks, that Van Gundy is complaining too much. And I understand what they're saying, because, look, I brought it up before. ESPN might be changing its Monday Night Football booth simply to appease the NFL, right? Because the NFL is daddy in these situations. And the NFL would not allow their product to be disparaged by the broadcasters who are doing the games. So I understand what he's saying about that. As far as the it bothering me personally, it doesn't bother me personally as an NBA fan.
Another one.
Steph Curry returned to the Warriors Thursday night. Steve Kerr afterwards says it's on again with Curry back in the lineup. Is Curry the most electrifying player in the NBA?
He's up there. Look, you know, it's he's changed the game the way he plays. I still think LeBron James, because of what he's accomplished, because you might be watching the greatest player of all time, I'm still picking LeBron number one. But Curry's in that update for number two. I think Kyrie, just from pure watchability standpoint, forgetting everything else, Kyrie's way up there. But Steph Curry fascinates people. He captures people's imagination because he seems relatable when he's doing it too. I mean, it's kind of funny because Steph's brother played in the NBA, or plays in the NBA. His dad played in the NBA. His mom was an elite athlete. So he obviously has a great pedigree, but there's something about him that feels so universal to people. So yeah, he's definitely right there.
Another one.
And finally, John Krasinski came out this weekend and said that he would love to play Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four. What do you think about that, or do you have an actor in mind that you would like to see portray Reed Richards in Fantastic Four?
Ooh, I have some like story ideas for how to bring some of these people into.
Well, if you want to share those too.
Well, I mean, I thought you could introduce Wolverine through a Wolverine versus Hulk flashback movie with the Savage Hulk as like a standalone movie on its own, where you introduce Wolverine and then the next appearance of him is in an X-Men movie. I also think you could do Wolverine in a solo series while he's in ensemble in just the movies. For the Fantastic Four, obviously X-Men versus Fantastic Four is a possibility, and obviously Reed Richards would work very well in the dynamic, because in every big comic book crossover, he was involved in those high-level conversations. Do you have a casting idea that you have yourself that I could shoot down or approve of?
How about Keanu Reeves? Keanu Reeves has that kind of the brooding personality that Reed Richards sometimes has. We all know that Keanu can pull off all the action sequences. I mean,
I think he'd be better as like the Silver Surfer or something like that. He needs a little bit more emotion, I think, to be Reed. A little bit more of that internal struggle to be Reed Richards. Remind me next week. I'll give you an answer. I will think about this one over the course. I will think like Reed Richards does, because he's the greatest genius in the Marvel Universe, even up there with Tony Stark and all those other people. It has been the Robin Lundberg Show, here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.